Today, we kick off our International Eeks triple feature with Andrzej Jaworski's Manic Maze Through the Horrors of Companionship. The men are possessive, the horror is transgressive, and it turns out that some couples are more divided than the Berlin Wall as we awkwardly overhear a couple's heated argument at the local cafe about a horny demon squid monster in possession. You're listening to How I Met Your Monster, a podcast that explores the introductions to your favorite movie monsters. My name's Zach.
I'm Danny.
And I'm Casey.
And together we dive into the world of horror to find out how filmmakers have introduced us to our favorite monsters time and time again. This is How I Met Your Monster. Welcome to How I Met Your Monster, the show where we discuss the introductions to your favorite movie monsters. Today is the start of a brand new triple feature, International Eeks. These are all going to be movies from other parts of the world.
Kind of?
That's how the journey started.
Yeah, it's because...
I think it's filmmakers from other parts.
Because takes place in Louisiana.
Louisiana.
Louisiana. Yeah, I think
at least two out of three movies are all spoken in English.
Not in Louisiana.
Yeah. But that's okay.
Mine's the only true international eek.
Yeah.
Today we're talking about Possession, which was made by a Polish filmmaker and filmed in Berlin. And this was his first.
Yeah, what we lose in the English language, we make up for multiple different cultures intertwined.
Yeah.
It's a melting pot.
So this is Possession, written and directed by Andrzej Jaworski. And this was his first and only, I think, English language film. Uh-huh. It's 1981. It's got a really, really young Sam Neill.
Dude. Mm-hmm.
Who looks, I mean, if you were introduced, like many of us, if you were introduced to Sam Neill through Jurassic Park, it's kind of a shock to see
him. If I would have watched this movie first, I don't think I would have ever watched another Sam Neill film again.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. I hated him for so many reasons. He looks scary. He's fucking scary.
He looks ill.
He's scary. Mm-hmm. Just, I don't like it. Yeah, his lip is so thin on the top, and the way that it sits on his teeth and his weird, like, little smirks that he does.
Well, I think so many people are used to him from Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
But this is a guy who's so embedded in horror, like between this and Event Horizon, The Omen 3.
Mm-hmm.
3, right? Yeah, 3.
In the Mouth of Madness.
He's a creepy dude. I bet Spielberg saw this movie while he was casting Jurassic Park, and he needed like someone really charming, saw Sam Neill and was like, him.
Yeah.
No.
Because he exudes so much charm and friendliness.
He was not charming in this movie.
No, I'm just kidding.
But like,
he's,
you know,
scary.
Like I said, most of us were introduced to him. Most of us of our age were introduced to him through Jurassic Park. And so you think, like, when you see him in a horror movie, you're like, oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. The guy from Jurassic Park, Sam Neill, is in a horror movie. That's neat. Mm-hmm. But then Danny, like you mentioned, he's in so many horror movies. Like, he's kind of almost like a horror movie staple. And you're just like, you don't think about Sam Neill as a horror movie staple, but he is.
And the irony is that Jurassic Park, we decided, is a horror movie. It's just a different flavor.
That's true.
Go check out our episode on Jurassic Park. It's a good one.
But today we're not talking about Jurassic Park. We're talking about Possession from 1981, starring Sam Neill and Isabelle Adjani. Mm-hmm.
Who is basically like the French version of Meryl Streep. She won Best Actress at Cannes for this movie. And she's also won, I think, like 4 or 5 César Awards, which is like the French Oscars, essentially.
For pizza.
Yeah.
Hot take. I thought that she was good in this movie when she was like going over the top, but her regular acting, I was not. Her and Sam Neill, when they were just doing their like normal thing, well, not normal things, but like, it was very soap opera.
So I thought that too, and I was wondering if it was kind of deliberate, because she is kind of, when we meet her, she's very like numbed. Like, I feel like we're not meeting them at the beginning of the end. We're meeting them at the end. And she is so like, I feel like she has to be so kind of cut off so that we understand her kind of really rapid transition into what the version that we see her later, where it's like, she can only hold it in so much that it ends up like exploding. That maybe like it comes off as kind of numbed and No, that's totally fair. That was just my like, that was trying, I was trying to like understand that too, because it did feel there was like a melodrama to it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was very soap opera.
It also didn't help that I didn't know what this movie really was. I only knew that famous scene where she's running.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just assumed like, oh, possession, probably a demon possession movie. So I didn't know where it was going, but.
That subway scene where she just loses it. Well, it's like she has a miscarriage in that scene, but mm-hmm. that's like the scene that everybody talks about. And yes, her performance in that bit right there is incredible because like something like takes over her. Right. Mm-hmm. But I much more enjoyed her performance in the rest of the movie when she was like, when they were fighting and she was, mm-hmm. to me, I mean, I'm not an actor, but to me, that seems more challenging and like impressive than flailing around in the subway
by yourself, which when you're interacting,
like, I am not trying to like downplay that scene. No, like that course. Had to be incredibly hard to like go there, but just like from like a viewer standpoint, like I want to see her. I liked watching her in the other scenes more. Like,
well, I think that's just a testament to the movie and her performance. So I think that's actually like a compliment, the fact that like that's the thing that everyone remembers from this movie. But the fact that she's giving so many different there's so many layers to her performance that those stood out even more to you or like resonated more. It's just, it speaks to her performance.
Sure. Yeah. So you guys had never seen this before.
No.
And it's, you know, it's funny because I had only seen it once before this and I enjoyed it a lot more on the second viewing that I watched the other night. And so it'd be interesting to see like if you guys watched it again.
Do you know why you liked it more?
Because I think I knew what was going to happen. And so I could just like, because it is very like, even like the editing is very jarring. Mm-hmm. It's almost like, okay, are we over here now? Or what happened? How much time has passed? Like what's going on? And that could be like,
well, even the way the movie's filmed is he apparently wanted his cinematographer, not apparently, he wanted a cinematographer to shoot everything from a wide angle. So it feels very theater.
Okay.
And then there's also an element to it where there's a lot of like inner dialogue and inner feelings and stuff that is expressed vocally. Like there's that scene later on in the movie when she's basically just like talking about her feelings, which reads very much like a novel, like the way that a character would express themselves in a book.
Right.
So we're getting like, it feels strange to see that sort of depiction of a character and a story and like a breakdown into madness on film. So I think that was done obviously like deliberately to kind of make you feel like uncomfortable and to kind of feel lost on the journey and the way that the journey is being told.
Sure.
Which I thought was really cool. So to your point, I could see how like seeing this, although it's a hard movie. It might be a while before I come back to watch this, not because it was bad or I didn't like it, but because it was just so intense.
Right. And on top of that, like from watching I watched part of the commentary on the Blu-ray for this, but you know, they had like only like a few weeks to shoot this whole movie. And so he had talked about like camera setups and things where it's like, they couldn't do a bunch of different angles and a bunch of different things of the same scene. They had to just shoot to make their days. And that just to me talks about how like restraints can make things better. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have like the freedom to do whatever, sometimes things aren't as good because there's no thought into them. It's just like, oh, we can shoot this from 12 different angles and then figure it out later. But like to your point, like I think his restraints helped tell that story the way that you just described, where it's like things play out in front of you in like these wide angles. And like part of it could be basically what I'm saying is I think they feed into each other. Like,
yeah,
the way you can tell the story this way and the restraints is that like, well, we don't have any other choice. We have to just like shoot this way. And it makes for a more compelling.
Well, it's funny you say that because there was some drama behind the scenes when it came to the creation of the monster.
Yes.
Carlo Rambaldi, who did the creature effects, thought he had more time and money to basically pull off the creature that we see later on in the movie, and he didn't. So there are actually quite a few scenes that ended up cutting out. The monster is supposed to be much more prevalent in the movie. So obviously that they couldn't, they physically were, it was impossible. But I think that also obviously like affected the tone and the style and the feel of this movie. It almost kind of works in its favor to have this thing that feels like it should be prominent, just showing up here and there in these little moments to kind of, it really does kind of disorient you a little bit, because it's like, oh, I thought I was watching this movie. And then it takes a turn where you're like, oh, she's killing people. And then, oh, there's a squid demon.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you saw that too much, maybe I'm not saying it would be bad, but like you said, like the constraints shaped this movie in ways that you can't really plan for.
Right.
Although they did say the director never forgave him. The creature effects guy.
Yeah. Rambaldi, who made E.T. He designed E.T. and fuck, what else did he do?
He apparently came to set with literally unfinished stuff.
Yeah.
And the director was like, you're kidding, right? We have to film this tomorrow. I think like in a few days, he's like, you have 2 days to figure this out.
Well, because
there's no like wiggle room.
Yeah. And he did the effects on Close Encounters. And I guess he told the director, like, he was like, dude, like on Close Encounters, we had like weeks to shoot this alien thing. And Jaworski's like, no, we have to shoot the whole movie in weeks. Like, what are you doing? It's funny. Just insane. But Casey, did you know there was going to be a squid octopus semen blood squirting?
Semen demon?
Fucking
semen. Yeah, what's up with the blood semen in our movies lately?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like it at all. I do not like it. But Casey, did you know it was going to be in there?
No.
Okay.
Did this measure up to your, we all have our flavors on this show.
I hated this movie.
You did, you really?
It? No, I'm just kidding. I loved it.
Oh.
I mean, it definitely has a Casey ending.
Oh, yeah. Jesus
Christ. No, I loved it a lot, actually. It was over 2 hours and there wasn't a single point that I was, and I had texted you guys and said, like, I'm without a doubt going to fall asleep, because I could tell as soon as I turned it on that it was a slow burn. And then you had confirmed that with me, but there still wasn't a single part of it that didn't interest me or keep my attention.
Yeah.
Yeah. It takes enough. It takes the right amount of twists and turns.
Oh, yeah. Like,
you really don't know where it's going.
Yeah. Like you said, just it and it being different at every turn. Like I really enjoyed, because it kind of had it had a lot of different horror aspects in it, you know.
There was from like psychological horror to like body horror to
thriller, like blood, guts, like and then even drama, at the core of it. It's just a fucking drama, really. But
So this was only the second time I had seen this. And when you text, I was like, yeah, it's a slow burn. And then I turned it on and like they immediately start fighting almost like, 5 minutes in. I was like, oh, OK, maybe it's not as slow of a burn as I thought it was.
It's kind of, the movie's sort of like one of the Neapolitan ice cream, where you got the chocolate, you got the vanilla, you got the strawberry. Yeah, but
the only good thing is the vanilla, so.
Oh, see, I disagree. What? Chocolate with strawberry?
I hate chocolate and strawberry ice cream. I think it's more like a Moose Trax, where you've got the fudge swirled throughout,
Is that what Moose Trax is?
Yeah, it's got the fudge and the little peanut butter cups.
Oh my God. Is Moose Trax my favorite ice cream?
Moose Trax is good.
What in God's name?
I know you were trying to be cute by talking about little peanut butter cups, but you almost sounded like Cartman.
Why? Because I'm fucking fat?
No. No.
I wasn't trying to be cute. I just love little peanut butter cups.
That's funny. Oh my God.
Little peanut butter cups.
Oh God. But yeah, speaking about run times of this movie, this was released in 1981 and the US version was released in 1983 and they cut 40 minutes.
Yeah, that's why when I said like I liked every part of it, what did they take out?
Yeah.
So I don't know all of it. I know one part, they used a lot of like optical effects on the film to cut things out. So for example, in the full version, Mark sees Anna fucking the squid monster, right? Mm-hmm. And she's like, almost. And it's like, what are you going to fuck? You're about to come? And it's like, no, like he's almost like fully formed. But after that, he goes to like Marge's house and there's like a shootout with the cops and all this stuff. And he gets shot and then he's on his motorbike. Remember all that? In the US version, when she's saying like almost and then it looks at him, they like almost like invert the footage. So it's like a weird, it's all like colored weird. And then they zoom in on his eye and then it cuts right to him driving the motorbike and crashing it in the thing. Mm-hmm. And so like they just like took out that whole chunk. It's just very strange.
Which is like, arguably the most like when you think about what you would keep in a movie that studios might think like this is what an American audience wants. They want
a shootout.
Yeah. The shootout.
Yeah. Yeah.
We love shootouts.
Wow, dude. You really missed the mark. But they like, also added another score to it, too, to make it feel more like spooky.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Interesting.
There was more music added. And
I liked the score a lot in this. And I liked that wasn't very much of it.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing that they added in the American version that is not in the original version was during that miscarriage scene in the subway. Mm-hmm. She like shows her hands and there's a close up of her hands and there's like eyeballs in her hands. And like
that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
They added that, you're saying, or they took it out?
No, they added that in the American version that is not in the original version.
How the hell did you just add
eyeballs? Well, it was shot.
Oh,
there's a production still of Isabella and Johnny's got like her hands up and it's like a behind the scenes photo and you can see the eyeballs in her hands.
Mm. I kind of like it.
But I guess
I would have
Jaworski just decided to cut that
but
little
for what?
Piece out.
What's the point of what would the point of the eyeballs be?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe that's why he cut it out.
Yeah.
Maybe he filmed it and then he was like, this doesn't make sense. So
I thought she was like,
it's cool. That
was
but... like the,
maybe I misunderstood this movie, you guys. I thought she was birthing the monster that she was like miscarrying, like on a symbolic level, like miscarrying, like all the shit from her past.
Yeah, I didn't believe that it was an actual baby, this, like, but I still don't know what the eyes would mean.
Well, like, did you see the stuff that came out of her?
Yeah, but I don't believe a lot of this was actually real.
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay.
That's my belief.
See, that, so, I love movies like that where it's like, is this all symbolism? Is it symbolism that is paired with the reality in the story world of the movie? Or is it just real and we're overthinking it?
Their house at one point is a complete disaster. But I think that's all like in them because Marjeet comes over and doesn't. How do you go to a house like that that's normally clean with a child in it and not even notice?
Oh, the poor kid.
I know.
Bob.
Do you know what I mean, though?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like it's like their perception of the situation, like
yeah.
the way Mark,
it's messy.
Even when he comes home, I know we're like jumping forward, but like when he comes home and he sees Bob, like everything's a mess. And he's like, this is what happens when, you know, I leave you alone with your mom, who's clearly not taking care. And she comes home and she's like, OK, I was a little late. This isn't that big of a deal. Like you're totally you're making this much bigger than it is. So I think that's a good read. I like that. I tend to. Maybe it's bad that I kind of default to this whenever I watch a movie where it's like, is it a real monster? Or is it just a representation? I tend to like just want it to be real,
mm-hmm.
you know, but
yeah,
I think for this particular movie, maybe your read is more, makes more sense.
Yeah. I don't know.
Just because what it feels like.
Well, and Heinrich, did he mention the demon-y thing? Like, cause he goes and he talks about how she's killing people, but he doesn't say anything about the.
Oh, yeah. Even the PI guy, Emmanuel's lover, he kind of, I mean, obviously he sees Emmanuel's corpse, but like he kind of doesn't even acknowledge it, really.
Right.
You think
right.
he's going to acknowledge it, but then he's like, Emmanuel.
Yeah, that's true. Because Heinrich, you know, he sees the body he sees the creature in the corner. And like, does he see like tentacles on it?
It has like a weird long head with like eyes on the side of it.
Oh, kind of like a squid head.
Yes. It is like a squid.
Yeah. Cause I was thinking like maybe he saw it and like just thought it was like a dead body, but
well,
it did have like that weird head,
but he doesn't say anything about that.
Yeah.
He just says she's,
you know, that's
people.
That's interesting because later when Mark, when he looks in the fridge and we only see his talking about Jurassic Park and Spielberg, we just see his reaction. We don't see what's in the fridge until later. And you're thinking like, oh, is it the monster? And it's the severed body parts. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's something there to be drawn from what Heinrich sees.
Yeah. Well, when Mark looks in the fridge, we already knew what was in there.
Yeah.
Oh,
we did.
We saw
that. Was I not paying attention to this movie?
Well, there was a lot. So you're just getting a little mixed up.
Okay. Well, let's head to Berlin and meet a squid demon. What'd you call it?
A semen demon.
Oh, semen demon.
A semen demon. Good. Yeah. But before we do that, if you are not subscribed to our show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or even YouTube now, go ahead and subscribe now so you don't miss the rest of this triple feature, International Eeks. And also reviews and ratings on Spotify and Apple are just a great way to help us get the word out to new listeners. And also, we just want to hear what you think of the show, what works, what doesn't work. Let us know, because we always want to be improving. So
I also, in your review, I want to hear what you think about my new addition, my elf ears.
Oh, yeah. If you're not watching this, if you're not watching this on YouTube and you're just listening to it, Danny, who is freshly into Dungeons and Dragons, is now an elf.
Actually, I'm a forest gnome, but
a forest gnome. OK, he's got the ears. Okay.
I think we should start a GoFundMe for my elf ear surgery, because, you know, I've been trying to do that for a long time.
Oh, yeah? Should we all get elf ear surgery?
Did you not know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Oh my God. I've wanted elf ear surgery since I was like 18 years old.
I didn't know that.
Dang.
Yes. I want to get my ears to surgically look like elves. You just cut a triangle out of them and then sew them together.
Wait, do people actually get this done?
Yes. Are we doing it, Danny?
This is fascinating. I am going to go on such a deep dive after this recording.
Well, and people are always like, ooh, like now, obviously it's more, I would say, accepted. But like when I first started talking about it, people were like, oh, people won't like hire you if you have elf ears. I'm like, they're going to think I'm fucking deformed. They're not going to say shit about my ears.
Like, or they're going to think you're really skilled because you have elf powers.
That's right. I'm an elf. They're like, oh my God, is she?
Like, wow, she's very graceful and does things.
Oh my God.
Twice as fast as mortal.
That's right. Mortal. Anyway, sorry. Graceful. That's me.
You're super graceful and you do stuff like really fast.
Yeah.
You're hired.
I should have known with the ears. I just didn't want to comment on it.
It's a great resume builder to have those elf ears.
Yeah. See? Yeah,
I did this. I did that. By the way, I'm an elf.
All right. Anyway,
let's
sorry.
Let's go to Berlin. Okay, so for Possession, we have 6 official monster reveals. If you're brand new to the show, a monster reveal is any time that the monster in the movie is revealed to a character in the movie or to us as an audience. And Possession has 6 of them. Now, this was my pick for our International Eeks triple feature. So I'm going to read the synopsis from IMDb. A woman starts exhibiting increasingly disturbing behavior. Disturbing behavior. Oh, fuck. Can we talk about that?
The universe wants us to do that movie so bad.
It does. A woman starts exhibiting increasingly disturbing behavior after asking her husband for a divorce. Suspicions of infidelity soon give way to something much more sinister. Okay.
I like it because it still leaves it very vague.
Well. Yeah. And the writer-director, Andrzej Jaworski, this was partially autobiographical. Like his ex-wife took their son and left with another man who he describes as somewhat like Heinrich.
Interesting.
He said, the guy she left him for was not as interesting as Heinrich. And his ex-wife is not as intelligent as Anna is in this movie.
Well, I would argue that Heinrich is just a caricature of a real person anyway. He's not.
Yeah.
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 But he comes off as kind of like there's like a mystique to him when you hear about him. He's so cool and interesting until little by little he starts to be like unpacked and you're like, you're weird.
by his downfall, I've like connected with him and I felt bad because he was like the only one with his head on straight. He was like,
oh, I don't know.
He was, like, but then he takes a turn.
I'm not a huge, I don't know a lot about movies like you guys do. And so maybe this is like really far off, but this movie felt very much like a Stanley Kubrick movie to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Besides like the demon parts of it. But Heinrich, when he first meets Mark, he's very much like part of the Clockwork Orange gang to me, like in that house, the way that he's so weird. I don't know.
Yeah.
And the way that he like karate chops him. And I was like, felt like he was part of the gang from A Clockwork Orange.
Yeah. Well, he's like on another level of something. Cause like right when Mark comes in, he's like touching him and he's like, like, you know, Heinrich is like one with the universe, or he's on drugs. Yeah.
What Casey said earlier about like, kind of like we're seeing the movie as the characters are perceiving their own reality.
Yeah.
So like Mark is like, Heinrich, it must be this like elevated version of a man, you know,
sure.
So fascinating. So when he meets him, he's like, you know, he is karate chopping, like, oh wow, he's even versed in like martial arts. Like he's stronger than me.
Yeah.
There's a weird,
he's so intelligent
like,
and worldly.
Yeah. And look how interesting he is and confident in his movements and the way he talks. But then when you really think about it, it's just like this lonely dude who's, I don't know, it's just Mark's perception, which then gets broken down until, spoiler alert, he kills him.
Yeah. Yeah. But
with the toilet, which again, it's I feel like that is even kind of like a commentary on like the way Mark sees him. Like, that's how you're going to go. I can kill you in many ways. I'm going to kill you with a toilet. Mm-hmm.
It was so gross how he killed him. Mm-hmm. That was disgusting. Ew.
Zach is acting like
Well, I just thought about like
this is breaking Zach.
It's disgusting on so many levels. Like the fact that fucking Mark pulls a chicken feather or like a bird feather out of the garbage and tickles his throat with it and then pukes in the toilet and then stuffs Heinrich's passed out face. Oh my God.
Hey, you gotta do what you gotta do. Yeah, survival of the fittest.
But, you know, in that bathroom scene where Heinrich is like, dude, we have to do something. Anna is killing people. And you're just like, chill about it. I was kind of like, yeah, Heinrich, you tell him.
But I think there's something you said. I know we're like jumping around a lot.
Yeah,
I think there's something to be said about how like Mark and Heinrich are, you know, the movie's a lot about like, I mean, the title Possession. It's like this idea of like taking possession of another person and like the possessive nature of the men in this movie as experienced by Anna. And ultimately, and I'm not saying that this is like a win for Mark, but it does show that like he is willing to accept her in this new kind of like state that she's in with this monster being and the murders. Whereas Heinrich, who is supposed to be the guy that she's like in love with, he is the elevated version of Mark and like men and all that stuff, can't handle it. So in a weird way, it's like he's actually not committed to her. He is just a fling.
Right. But I think Mark, it also
is committed.
I wouldn't say committed. I would say possessed, perhaps.
Totally. Yeah. I want to just be clear that I don't mean that like Mark, therefore, is like the better version. It's just.
No, I know.
It
but
also,
I think
is,
he's also
is highlighting
possessed.
His. Totally. And like his infatuation. I don't think it is love. I think Mark makes it very clear throughout the movie that it isn't about being in love with Anna. It's about maintaining a level of what's the word I'm looking for? Stability as dictated by society. You know, he keeps saying we need to keep the family together.
To
keep the family together. It has nothing to do. He even says like they say it a couple times throughout the movies where it's like, when I'm not with you, I want you. And when I'm want you, when I'm with you, I don't want you. I want something else.
Yeah.
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 I think another part of it isn't just their like possession over each other, but I think like that they can't even possess themselves because they're so out of control.
Yeah.
You know,
everyone's like, reliant on each other.
Yeah.
They can't just take a second.
They don't have any kind of control over their feelings and they've completely lost. You know what I mean? And so they want to possess each other, but they can't even possess themselves. I don't know.
Love that.
Yeah.
Which is funny because, not so much. I was going to say like it's the era in which this movie was made. You know, it's like Cold War and all that stuff. Like literally, apparently this was filmed about a few blocks away from Checkpoint Charlie, which was the main crossing point between East and West Berlin.
So well, yeah, you see the symbolism wall throughout the movie so many times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's that idea of like oppression and expectations to conform and to, literally what we're talking about right now, just kind of like on a literal physical level.
Yeah.
Zach, what were you laughing about? Yeah. We need to know.
Was it this serious conversation we're having while he's wearing elf ears?
I almost could. I was so looking through I was just like scanning my notes to see kind of like where we were at. And I wrote in my notes, I said, Mark sees the teacher who looks just like Bob.
Wrong one.
It's supposed to be who looks just like Anna, but I wrote Bob. It was like Mark sees the teacher who looks just and then I was picturing like little Bob.
Yep. With the braid and the dress.
He's
on.
Like, you look like who? It's uncanny.
Take that wig off. You're my son. Oh, Bob. God.
And like I know it was like right in the middle of your like whole thing, and I'm sorry, I was trying so hard to hold it in, but every That's time hilarious. I would calm down, I would picture it again. Oh my God. Have you guys both seen Marriage Story?
No.
Yes. That's what I got big Marriage Story vibes from.
Yeah. I would almost guarantee, like, I bet I would put money on the fact that if you asked like Noah Baumbach or like Adam Driver or Scarlett Johansson, like any inspirations they took for Marriage Story, I bet you one of them would say this.
They were like, specifically the character Bob. We really drew from Bob.
When I, you know, that time when I was eating that peanut butter and jelly sandwich and I had the jelly all over my face, that was taken directly from the 1981 film Possession. Where the character of Bob is left alone to his own devices and he just smears the jelly on his face. I don't know why I'm talking like that.
No, but it is. It's similar. Pretentious actor. Casey, I won't spoil anything, but there is, it's that idea of kind of, it's very much the cafe scene in this movie, but as a whole movie.
Don't you meet in public so you don't do that? Isn't that why you meet in public? So that you don't. Okay.
It's funny you say like, that because I was thinking this.
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking that too. There is. Yeah. I was guessing my read on it was that they do a lot. There's a lot of fighting in public spaces, whether it's in like outside at the coffee shop, even in like the hallway of their apartment, and no one. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, Mark gets violent and they stop him, but no one really comments on it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there's more of a read to it, but I was thinking about how when you were, I don't know if you guys have ever been in like a tumultuous relationship or anything, or like you're just like, or when you're having a fight with someone, it feels sort of like nothing else kind of exists. You're just of like tunnel vision. Sure. And it really is like, because if you really take a step back in an argument, it's like, okay. There are other ways to look at this. There's a more civil way to kind of navigate whatever we're fighting about, but it never feels like that at the time. So my read on it was that it's almost like we're feeling what they are seeing, what they're feeling.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And aren't they facing away from each other? Am I misremembering that?
Yeah. No, they are.
Isn't it like really weird?
And he's like sitting on one corner and she's on the other corner.
Oh yeah.
And so maybe there's some levels there.
That the most important scene of the movie and we just don't understand it. Probably. This is why you come to podcasts. You're like, someone's like, I really want to understand the cafe scene. I bet this podcast about that movie will tell us. And we're just like, I don't know, listeners. What do you got? What do you think? Leave us a review. Yeah, that's the thing. Don't just leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a review with your interpretation of the cafe scene from Possession.
Yes. Yeah.
That's your task.
And then we'll take those ideas and record another episode.
We'll do a mini episode.
All right. Well, let's jump to our first reveal. And I know we're gonna be jumping around a lot in this movie, much as the movie seems to do with its editing style. So to set this up, Mark hires a private investigating firm. I guess there's the worst, more people.
The worst private investigator. Dude,
we're gonna talk about that. But he hires a PI firm to follow Anna and see like what she's doing. And one of the, I guess they're like detectives, they're PIs. One of the PIs starts to follow Anna, and he is just awful at at tailing somebody. It is comical.
Yeah, almost. So awful that she is like running and screaming away from him.
she runs and screams away from him. He chases after her. Yeah. And then once they get into her like apartment building, he just like walks by like he's going up the steps like he just happens to be.
He's like, oh, I live up here.
And then he does the little fake walking thing and he kind of like looks out as though like someone's, and he does like the eek face like.
Yeah, like, and as if he hasn't been made, he goes back and knocks on her door. However, she does let him in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
people make some questionable choices in this movie. It was
funny. But yeah, this is our first reveal where he comes into like, he's like has this this like front that he's putting on about like checking windows for the landlord or something. And when he's in there, Anna offers him a glass of wine and he's like, no, I have kids or I'm married or
this
something.
This is another like caricature over the top, like the, I don't know, it was so weird.
Just like, he's no? So uncomfortable for no reason.
Well, he's like, wine?
Why would you offer me this? I have a family. Yeah.
Just say no.
Why would you offer me this beverage?
Literally, all he had to say was like, hey, it's not even noon. You know, thanks though.
Yeah. But he goes and checks the windows and he sees this creature, which I guess is in a bathtub or in a bathroom.
He insists on checking the windows in the bathroom and she keeps telling him there aren't any.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he was like, no, I got to check the windows in the bathroom.
Wait, can I just go back to the wine really quick?
Yeah, let's go back to the wine.
Do you think
wine.
That's something about, like, again, it's sort of, it's telling of a man's perspective during a situation like that where
no,
someone just offering someone a glass of wine, they can't help but think like they're the male, quote unquote, like male urge takes over and be like, that must mean she wants to get drunk and wants to fuck. And,
I,
you know, it's
think,
like, whoa, dude, she's offering you a drink. She's just being hospitable.
Yeah. But I think in that situation, he was too scared.
Yeah,
I see.
Because I think he'd be like, oh, yeah, caught. She wants me. You know,
well, he's gay.
Oh, my
right?
God. What do I do?
Yeah. Yeah. So he wouldn't be like.
Oh,
which is kind of weird that he says, like, I have a family.
So maybe, yeah, maybe he's just uncomfortable.
Maybe he doesn't have a family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too. Oh, God, I feel like you could really peel this apart and I don't feel like I've thought about it enough.
Yeah. His partner is the other PI guy.
Well, I know, but like maybe they don't have children. You know what I mean? When I think of family,
I could only imagine in 1981, Berlin probably wasn't.
Yeah, it's not.
Right.
Yeah. Like, so maybe it's more about, which I don't know how that serves the purpose of the movie, but it's more about him, like the anxiety of what a man, quote unquote, should do in that situation, like accept a glass of wine from a beautiful yeah. woman and like yeah. maybe we're gonna have sex later, and he's like, oh my God, this is gonna get way
I'm
too
gay.
Far
yeah.
I can't tell her I'm gay because he's just really struggling.
He literally got scared straight. He's like, oh, she pulls out a bottle of wine and he's like, okay,
that's so funny. Okay, yeah, okay, we can move on. I just, that was like bothering me. I'm like, I feel like there's something yeah. there maybe, and maybe yeah there is, maybe there isn't,
but okay,
funny so enough the wine will end up fucking with them in the end. Yeah. So
yeah, he does get fucked with the wine. And so he goes back to, and he sees this creature that we've mentioned before, and he just is kind of,
he's a little baby.
Well, you know, we had talked about like, is this all in her, like, is this all a fabrication of her mind or is it real?
Yeah.
Whatever. Like, if it's not real, what is he seeing?
I don't know. I didn't say that it wasn't. I just said that a lot of it.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just, yeah. it just clicked. I was like, oh, because this is presumably the first person she's killed.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like what happened up to this point.
Maybe he doesn't really, you know what I mean? Maybe he doesn't really even notice it all that much.
Mm.
And we just think he does because it's in there and we see it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, yeah, because when she kills him, the fact that we mentioned this earlier, that like I even kind of don't remember that happening, him noticing it. I just remember him looking out the window.
He does seem scared, but like if it isn't her, like if it isn't like a real thing, it's just him going back there and being like, realizing there aren't any windows in the bathroom. He's like, she was right. Oh my God.
Maybe it's because he's gay. I don't know.
And he's like, I told you there wasn't any windows. And she's like,
I don't know what to do.
Yeah, but okay.
Maybe it's just the state of the apartment. Maybe he's just like,
yeah, he sees like dirty towels on the floor and like not hung up on the racks. And he's like, oh my God. but yeah, this got like violent really quickly. Like the amount of blood.
Yeah, didn't know that this is what the movie was.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're like, oh.
Because up until that point, I mean, other than like Heinrich karate chopping Mark, there hasn't been any blood or violence. It's all just been verbal arguments. And then that just comes like you see the creature and then she stabs him and there's a lot of blood and it's just like, holy shit. Okay. Mm-hmm. Here we are.
And I love that her Anna's victims are only men who are inserting themselves into her life, you know, without her consent, you know, and trying to control her narrative and sort of like all, literally at the end of the day, all Anna wants to do is live independently. She just wants to end a relationship. Yeah. She's very honest. She's like, this is not working out. I'm sorry. I know we have a family. It sucks. You know, breakups are hard. We're going to cry. We're going to maybe have some fights, but you have to let me go. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Mark can't just give her that, which I get it, you know, breakups hurt, but you can't turn into a fucking psychopath and control someone's life just because it's giving you your perceived idea of what happiness and stability is.
Yeah.
So like there was part of me that felt bad for a second when like we're jumping ahead, but like when Emmanuel's partner gets killed, I was like, oh, and maybe it's just because I'm like, oh, poor little gay couple, they're struggling. But also it's like, okay, just because you're gay doesn't mean you're off the hook. Like you guys are being freaks, like leave this poor woman alone.
Yeah.
So there is a weird, and maybe this is an obvious read, but there is like a catharsis to the murders in this movie where Anna is getting relief. It's unfortunate that she has to be put in that position, but like there is this like sense of control that she gets where it's like, I'm removing you from this narrative you're creating for me. You basically like did this to yourself.
I would push back a little bit on Emmanuel's lover. I don't even know his name. Like the
detective.
I call him like the desk guy, the PI
desk guy.
The desk guy, the desk PI. Because he was just coming looking for Emmanuel. Like at that point, he wasn't even concerned like with tailing her or doing whatever. He was like, I sent Emmanuel out to check on you, you know, to be what we were hired to do, which that is not a good thing.
Well, that's the thing. Maybe that's the thing. It's the broader idea of
okay.
He shouldn't have been running that organization in the first place. You know?
Okay. That makes sense.
Because it is kind of like a for-profit, like.
Yeah.
Well, PIs do good things too.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, PIs aren't bad. They're not bad people. Oh, they're not
I'm
just
not saying that, but it's that idea of like
PIs help find
no
missing
questions
people.
Asked.
Yeah.
They help, you know what I mean? It's not just about following someone that you think is cheating on you or something. They help they help get answers for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When police force won't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely good. But maybe the fact that they do have that element to it.
Yeah. I'm just talking about in that moment when he goes to the apartment, he's like, I'm just looking for my husband. Mm-hmm. Or a boyfriend or whatever. Like, I know the last time I sent him out, he was tailing you and now no one can find him. So like, what's up?
Maybe that was done deliberately because it didn't have to be like a lover. So maybe they did that deliberately to kind of, this movie isn't black and white, you know, with Anna. She's not totally innocent in this either. I think there is a lot of.
No, she murders people. Yeah.
It's complicated. Yeah. It's like. It's unfortunate that she was driven to a point in her life where, whether it's literal or not.
Is this a Pam Voorhees situation?
So I love Anna and I support her. No, but yeah, like it's unfortunate that she had to be driven there. That wasn't her fault. However, that doesn't give her the right. Just like it didn't. Just like there is like this idea, like Casey, you said about possession and control. It's like Mark has no right to possess her. She has no right to like basically control the fate of the people who get involved in her life and try to control. It's very messy, you know?
Yeah.
Heinrich does say, I'm the only one who has any rights to you because I don't claim any.
Wow.
Ooh.
What a quote. That's a great quote. It's also chilling. It's also so, you can see, it says so much about his character, tells you everything. It's like, you can see how he can rationalize a way to have, I don't know, like, it's kind of fucked up. Very fucked up.
Yeah.
That says a lot about guys like that, where it's like, oh no, I'm a good dude.
Oh my
it's
God, like, good okay. guys.
Just because you say you're a good dude doesn't mean you're a good dude. You know, like a good dude doesn't have to say he's a good dude.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
The guys that call themselves golden retrievers normally aren't.
What? That's
scary.
Yeah.
What? What is this about golden retrievers?
Oh, I guess you're not, because you don't date men.
You've never heard of the golden retriever, like, boyfriend?
No.
Yeah, golden retriever boyfriend. They I are mean, real. All cuties. Griff all is cuties. One, but like he guys can't call that himself. Are.
He's not a self-professed golden retriever.
Yeah. Guys are like, oh yeah, I'm a golden retriever. Guys put that on their dating profile and they turn out to be fucking sacks of shit. Like,
who would put? Can you imagine?
I've gone on dates with them.
Man,
crazy.
I mean, I love golden retriever dogs. They're my favorite kind of dogs. But I bet you some of them are sacks of shit.
Oh, I'm sure some of them are, yeah. But probably not, though. Not as many men. Not as many that are, like, men that are sex shit.
Yeah.
What kind of dogs do you guys think you are?
I'm a black cat. You're
a black cat. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Zach, what do you got?
Zach?
Well, I can't say golden retriever now, even though that's my favorite dog.
Even though that's my favorite dog.
Wow, Zach over here calling himself a golden retriever.
This is like, you set me up for that, Danny. I said golden retrievers are my favorite dog, and then you're like, what kind of dog would you be?
Oh, that's true.
Like that. I'm like a chihuahua.
No, I don't think so. Sorry. No.
With those ears, you are.
Let's dog each other. What kind of dog would Zach be?
Yeah, guys, tell me.
Interesting.
You're a lab of some sort.
Yeah, you're definitely a lab.
What?
No, but that's good. You're what friendly. Kind? Everyone likes you.
I don't know.
You.
They're all very similar.
You've got a
fun
temperament.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
You're loyal. You're nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Lab.
Yeah. And Casey, you're a black cat.
Yeah.
let's dog everybody. Thanks. You're a black cat.
Danny, maybe you are a chihuahua. No.
What about
no,
a cocker spaniel?
So
I don't mean like cock or spaniel.
Because I like cock. Thanks, Zach.
I'm trying to think.
Like Lassie.
And please don't take this the wrong way.
I probably will.
I'm trying to think of a more anxious dog.
Oh, that makes sense.
That's why I said maybe a chihuahua, but chihuahuas are mean.
Just
too.
Shaking all the time.
Sweet,
well,
but
yeah,
anxious.
So like you need, there's some like a dog that's like anxious, but very nice still.
Yeah. Oh,
that literally just describes me.
But maybe you're anxious because you're trying to be too nice.
Oh yeah.
What dog is that?
People pleaser.
Yeah.
What's a dog that?
People pleasing. But nice. Anxious dog.
You guys know we're talking about possession, right?
It's possession of dogs.
Eventually.
Okay, guys. Enough about the fucking dogs. Okay. possession. We've actually already jumped into our second reveal, and we didn't even know it. This movie is kind of octopusing all over us.
Spreading its demon semen tentacles. Is that what you're?
Yeah. But the second reveal is the PI, the desk boy. What do we call him? Desky?
Desk
PI?
Is that what private investigators say when they come to your house? They're like, hi.
I'm Mr. Desky, front desky.
My name's Desky, front desky.
I'm sure he's got a name. Oh, it's just Detective.
And Detective Desky. But anyways, this is him going to Anna's apartment to look for Emmanuel. And, we've kind of discussed this already. But this is where we find out that Anna is sleeping with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
She says to him, he made love to me all night.
Mm-hmm.
And that got me thinking, earlier in the movie, you know, a lot of times she's saying, oh, I'm with him, or Mark is saying, are you with him? Like, is she talking about this thing? Because a lot of times Heinrich is like, or like the mom is like, Heinrich's in fucking wherever he goes. And she's like, oh, I'm with him. But the mom's like, Heinrich's not here. So she's got to be talking about this octopussy.
Yeah, I guess. But I don't think that it.
Dude.
But like.
Desky, sorry. Front desky, octopussy. It's a very James Bond episode. And we didn't even know it. Is this a
007 movie?
It is. Berlin. Oh, my God. Okay. Casey, what?
I don't know.
Oh, what? What's on your mind?
Isn't it really small at first?
Yeah. I mean, it's not the size of the boat. It's the motion in the ocean, as they say. It's not the size of the.
You're telling yourself that.
Octopus.
So I.
That's what the I size tell of the people octopus. When. That's what I tell people when I pull my pants off and they're disappointed. I'm like, haven't you ever seen Possession? It's not about the size.
I'm saying was that perhaps. Because I didn't think this thing was growing until she started to kill people.
Mm. Oh, my God. Is the squid demon turned on by?
No, I think she's feeding it.
Yeah. Where did it come from?
Why is it growing? Get it? Like an erection?
Like a dick?
Oh, yeah. So is Mark's doppelganger at the end just like a human dildo? Mm-hmm.
A human dildo is a dick.
Yeah,
a human
the monster thing. Turns into a clone a willy of Sam Neill.
What's a clone? Mm-hmm. Oh, is that where? I mean, I just put it together like, where you can.
You're like a thing around your penis, and it hardens, and then you create a dildo made out of your own penis mold. Like you make a mold of your
ew penis mold.
They do that in a movie with Zac Efron, and it's about all these college guys.
Is that
and they
Neighbors? All do,
yeah, and they all do it together, and then it gets stuck.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah. Oh, my God. With like Dave Franco and mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that. I think that movie was pretty funny, if I remember it right.
Yeah.
But so in this scene, I thought that front desky.
That's Detective Front Desky to you.
Detective Front Desky. I thought that he shoots Anna.
He does.
But
no, he shoots at her.
He shoots at her. But yeah. Then she does this thing with her mouth and she's like. Like, it looks like she's going to throw up something. And then she, like, beats him with a milkshake or something. I don't know.
She has a lot of milk randomly in this movie.
Yeah.
Oh, there's something. The floor, I don't know. If,
it's like the oozy, milky, bloody.
We'll get there. I don't think it has to do with. I think maybe it has to do with, like, mom stuff or something. I don't know.
Is she feeding the squid demon milk, maybe? Oh. Maybe there's this weird, like, maternal, like, nature, like, kind of an Oedipal thing going on.
Yeah, maybe.
Where it's like it's a creation, it's a manifestation of her, and then she also nurtures it, but also they fuck.
Ew.
Yeah, she got a lot of milk in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you need it, you're feeding a squid demon.
Yeah, she's feeding it bodies too, though, I think.
Okay, well, let's jump to our third reveal. This is when Heinrich sees the creature. And again, we've talked about this a little bit. You know, we've been jumping around, but. It definitely, the creature definitely looks more human at this point. And, she stabs him. She stabs Heinrich.
Yeah, and like where Jesus gets stabbed.
Oh, like in the side.
Yeah.
Oh, is that supposed to mean something?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Well, because there's a point before the famous subway scene where she goes to church and she kind of like looks to Jesus for help. And she doesn't really get, I think, maybe what she thinks she
just
needs.
You mean the
Jesus statue doesn't help Anna? What?
It just shows her where to stab Heinrich.
Yeah, literally though. Like that's. I think there's something telling though, but like that's what she gets from that that like quote unquote religious experience is like how to hurt someone.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting.
Yeah. Well, right after she, you know, is looking at the statue, that's where she goes into the subway.
Mm-hmm.
And wild scene.
It is kind of a religious experience in a way because it's like what she took from that was, you know, obviously people, we're not here to judge, people turn to religion for certain types of value emotionally, spiritually, but there is, you know, an element of religion just in like historically of violence and persecution. And it kind of connects to that theme of the movie where it's like the expectation of family life or like what a woman is supposed to be and how a man is expected to act and all that kind of conflated into like the craziness of this movie. So the fact that she takes that and it's like so overwhelming to her, and that's mm-hmm. where she kind of hits her breaking point.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah. I do want to really quickly just backtrack to the scene where we see Anna as a ballet instructor.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. During like the movie that Heinrich was making.
Yeah. And one of my favorite quotes from this movie is where she looks at the screen and she's like, "That's because I'm with you, because you say I for me." Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was like one of the most haunting things I'd ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
It forces you to have such a perspective shift of what it is to be a companion and how easy it is for a relationship to be toxic. And mm-hmm. that I think kind of like is a perfect example and representation of like what a toxic relationship is, because you say I for me. And it's like, oh, it like, I don't know. I got like a chill down my spine when I yeah. watched that, and just her performance in that and the buildup to it. And then obviously like what follows, you just, you know, you want to create sympathy around a certain character. And in this case, it's Anna. And I feel like that does all the heavy lifting right there in that one line and the way yeah. she delivers the line.
Yeah. And that was how they opened the US version of this uh-huh. in 1983 with that quote, with her looking at the camera and saying that quote.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Like that's like the opening. That's like the first thing you see.
Hmm.
That's funny because it doesn't strange. Allow the audience to
get to there. That. Get there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just mm-hmm. gives it, it puts it in your yeah. face right before it mm-hmm. starts.
Yeah. It's very
interesting. They're like, Americans are dumb. We should probably.
They're so stupid.
Yeah.
Americans are dumb. We should probably just give it to them right in the
here's
beginning.
Here's the theme. It just says theme, colon, the quote. Yeah.
Let's see. Where are we at here? We've got.
She stabbed Heinrich.
She stabbed Heinrich. And Heinrich calls fucking Mark. And Mark's like, just hang out and bleed for a while. And I'll be there in a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think, oh yeah, before he even goes to see Heinrich, and I guess this is our kind of our fourth official reveal where Mark sees the body parts in the refrigerator, he like blows up the fucking apartment.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Or maybe he like, oh, I think he like sets up what he's going to do. Then he goes and sees Heinrich, kills him. And then he goes back and, because he had turned the gas on.
Right.
And then he goes back and blows it up. And then he takes Heinrich's bike and fucks off down the street.
This yeah. is all after the fourth reveal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The fourth reveal, I mean, it's an official reveal for us because Mark finds out that Anna is killing people yeah. because he sees body parts in her fridge. But there's really not much to it because
it's so we gross. Don't
see. We just know what he's seeing because we've seen it earlier. But
Yeah. But like, it's gross that like, that's what he decides is his way to show commitment and love.
Yeah. He's covering
like
up.
He had all these other opportunities.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what do they say? It's like, what's the quote? It's like, if you like love someone enough, you're willing to let them go. Because if you truly love someone, you want them to be happy.
Yeah.
You know, and this one is all about like, how can I be happy? And the fact that the one thing he's willing to do that actually could be helpful for her in a way is like hide the body kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like that's the thing he commits to is just like very telling of
well, his not nature. Only that, but he blows up her apartment. So where is she going to go?
Yeah, totally. Like there's collateral damage and
guess you'll have to stay with me.
You still have keys, right? To my place. I'm just saying.
Yeah, and so he tells Anna to take the motorcycle and go to Marge's house because she fucking killed Margie?
Yeah.
Margie.
Who, listen, I'm not saying anyone deserves to die, but we have a real monster thing coming up. We'll talk about that later.
Okay, yeah. I don't understand what Marge was all about. Like, there was
she not wasn't, a good friend. I don't know if she was real either. No.
It's very strange. But
again, you know, probably not her true self and just how other people were.
That's true.
Seeing her.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Marx tells us his thoughts on the movie, which it feels like just from what I've heard about the director of this movie, Mark says at one point, he says, I'm at war against women. They're dangerous. So I feel like anyone who's like a woman, like his, you know, his wife's friend, like she knows she has all the information, all the dirt. And she's also lying to me. Like everyone's against him.
Well, yeah. And then, okay, so this is like not exactly on the same thing, but going back to like them seeing people, like how they want to perceive them or whatever.
Yeah.
That goes along with like the teacher being his wife.
Totally.
Because she's like that super like caring, like woman, you know, he sees his wife and that's what he wants his wife to be.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
She nurtures.
She comes in and she starts like doing the dishes while he's not home and like all this.
She even gets into bed naked and she's like, we don't have to fuck. But here if you need it.
Yeah.
It's like,
well, no, that's a great point because I was, you know, I wanted to bring this up at some point during this episode where it's like, what was that all about? Like, why did she look just like her? And I mean, that's probably your read on that is probably spot on that. Like, it's just what he was seeing.
I hate Mark so much. I just remembered there's that quote he says earlier that sets him up, how like selfish he is and is so just oblivious to who he really is as a person. And like that, there's that point where they're lying in bed and they had just like split up and they're getting back together. And she asks him if he was unfaithful. And he's like, the truth is not really. What the fuck does that mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not really.
Although like, I will give some pushback here because she had been the entire time and didn't tell him when he asked.
But then the thing is, though, is like lying. She tells him, but eventually,
sure.
I don't know. I guess I agree. But like, I think like her journey is like coming to terms with the fact that
they're ending. She's not. I know he's the bad guy. I know that.
Yeah. It's just the way he says it. It's almost like he actually doesn't view if he were to like do something. Maybe he didn't like have sex, like
he doesn't. Penetrative sex. A lot of people don't understand emotional cheating, or you know what I mean, like a lot of people don't get that. Mm-hmm. So
gross
nasty.
And then he says he doesn't want her now that he's back. He's just like a disgusting
He's gross.
He's horrible.
So weird.
Oh, can we talk for a second about like, so he is like a, you know, Danny, Jesus, we talked about Front Desky, we talked about Octopussy, we talked about Berlin. He is
Are we
like
talking about Pink Socks?
Well, yeah, because Mark's job, he is like a secret agent.
Oh, yeah. So I was a little confused about what his job was.
He is James Bond. This is an unofficial James.
Wait a minute.
Is it time? It is time for the How I Met Your Monster conspiracy theory of the week.
Hit it. Because Danny wasn't going to say it.
I don't know what he's waiting for.
Ooh, there's.
Oh, he's saying hit it in what?
Polish.
German?
Polish.
Ooh, there's.
Yeah, so this is an unofficial James Bond movie.
It's a direct sequel to a entry in the movie. It's Octopussy 2.
Okay. Yeah. So you're Danny. Octopussy you're 2. Our resident James Bond man here. So
Octopussy 2, colon demon semen.
Semen demon.
Semen demon.
Oh, Squid Games.
Octopussy 2.
Squid Games. Squid Cum. Oh, that's what it is. 007. Squid.
Okay.
Cum.
So Sam Neill is
he's 007.
Yeah. But no, like I'm saying, like Sam Neill like has to be included now.
And Heinrich would 100% be like a henchman or like the villain. Totally. Who's like a little weird. Oh, he would know. Heinrich is the main villain because he needs like a direct, like he is the mirror of him. He's the other guy.
Okay.
But then you find out that he created like a weapon that then took over and became the true villain, which was the squid demon. But I guess the twist would be James is actually evil.
Well, so correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't James Bond like a womanizer?
A womanizer, yeah. So maybe this is the movie where his womanizing ways are turned against him and weaponized, I guess, against him.
And yeah, this movie just kind of focuses on one of the women that he screwed up emotionally.
Well, I think also this is finally a point where the quote unquote Bond girls are finally fed up with being labeled as the quote unquote Bond girls.
Yeah.
And this is what happens as a result. This They're is like, what James Bond did this. Uh-huh. Like, this movie is a result of everything that James Bond stands for.
Yep. They're like, fuck you, James. We're going to sleep with the person that you're trying to, what does James Bond do?
Destroy.
Destroy. Stop.
Yeah.
Bad guys. Oh my God, dude. So Danny, 1981, where does this fall in? Well, you said Octopussy. When was Octopussy made?
That was what definitely kind of Bond 80s.
Guy are you? Just gonna look it all up.
Well, 81, I don't know now. Well, because there was a 80s was weird for there were a lot of gaps in the late, like from the mid.
You thought they were gaps.
Oh no, 80s was big. What am I talking about?
You thought there was gaps, but they were really making sequels.
There weren't gaps, Zach.
He was wrong. 81 was.
You're shooting holes in my conspiracy theory.
1981 was For Your Eyes Only.
Dude, I just want to know when Octopussy came out. That's all I asked.
Oh, I just wanted to see where I wanted to see where For Your Eyes Only was set. I wanted to see if there was anything with Berlin.
Nope, just Octopussy.
Octopussy, what came out a year later? Oh, okay. So
it's the prequel.
For Your Eyes Only was 1981. Octopussy was 1983.
So this is the
1982.
Prequel.
There was a gap year.
Well, this maybe was this 1981.
This was gonna be released in 82.
Are you making things up now?
Well, yeah. This okay. is the only thing is different is that it's not a sequel to Octopussy. It's a prequel.
It's a prequel.
Yes.
They're creating Octopussy.
She's creating That's Octopussy.
What they're doing.
And Octopussy is in the movie like a very dominant, strong woman. So
there it is.
That's how it was.
She's the teacher. We don't know what happens to the teacher at the end after the doppelganger
she
is at the door.
She forms a squad of assassins and Dude. Moves to India. And thus Octopussy and her band of merry women is created.
That's it. All right. Now we can move on.
All right. About time.
Good job, James Bond.
Good job, guys.
Awesome.
Hey, did we come up with an official title for it?
Well, we did when it was a sequel. Now I don't know what it is when it's a prequel.
I mean, I feel like it should just be Demon Semen.
Semen Demon.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Enough of that. Casey's we're almost there. Done with us. Let's jump to our fifth reveal. This is, speaking of just, you know, the topic at hand, this is where Mark sees Anna fucking the octopus creature.
He loves it. What a fucking cuck, dude.
That's what I wrote. I said, is Mark a cuck?
What a cuck.
He's like into it.
Cug.
He loves it.
What's cug, the cug chair? The cug chair.
Cug chair.
I wish he was in a cug chair.
He's in a cug chair.
By the way, listeners, you would understand what that means if you joined our watch alongs, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That's where we came up with the cug chair.
Yeah. Follow us on Instagram for information on watch alongs and you can be in on the cug chair joke. But I mean, not if we make it again.
Yeah. Too late. We have to do it every time now.
But yeah, Mark is, he's a cuck, I would say. And she's like, I don't know, is it like she's not being held against her will, right? She's like,
oh, no, she likes it.
She's enjoying it.
She's having a good time.
Yeah.
So, all right. So that comes to an understanding of what this monster is. It's interesting that the next time, spoiler alert, that we see the monster, it becomes a doppelganger of Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like when Mark comes in and sees it, he's not like as jealous as he was when it was Heinrich. It's not some guy that's like someone he sees as a, what is the word I'm looking
a
for?
A threat?
Like competition. Yeah, like a threat.
Mm-hmm.
He sees himself in it. That was my read on it, especially by the end of the movie. Because I was thinking like what the monster represents is like all of the things that Anna wants. It's her desires. It's her being able to escape from this possessiveness that has been kind of attacking her this whole movie. And something that
grows
like maybe her.
Every guy she person she kills grows. So, yeah.
Yeah. And it takes the parts that she wants in a partner, in a companion.
Like he's doing with the teacher.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. But it's in this case, it's compounded with, whereas like Mark sees himself as like hot shit and everything, and like mm-hmm. everything is perfect. Anna sees the reality of it. So the thing that she is sleeping with is compounded with her rage and her disgust with partners. And it's done, obviously, like in a physical manifestation of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like how that ties then to Mark and his doppelganger. Because I guess we'll get to that, but yeah.
I just think like it ends up being his doppelganger because it's all the parts of him that she wants to.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Like he is the teacher.
Totally. Yeah. Like he's there for her. He's supportive. Yeah, it's kind of like how when we fall in love with people, we love parts of them. There are parts of them that drive us crazy or that bother us, but you make a decision like you love that. I don't know, like I'm now like, well, love is accepting everyone as they are.
With your elf ears on.
Yeah.
I've been in love for a long time. My husband loves me.
No, but like the part that ends up surviving with Mark in the doppelganger is this, it's more of like a guise, you know, it's all surface level. It's just, he's warm and attractive, but then we see him like later, like Bob is terrified of him, you know,
mm-hmm.
whereas the version of Mark that's dying is like gross and fucked up. But he's the one that's willing to like die for her and to cover up her tracks.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
but she chooses him in the end, essentially, that version of it where it's like the quote unquote beautiful version doesn't mean anything. It's all superficial. And I mean, she would have been better off if she left him entirely. But like she chooses like the lesser of two evils in a way, I guess. It's like, I love this part of you. Why couldn't you have this part that would die for me, but not be a fucking controlling psychopath that made it always seem like everything was perfect?
Yeah. A lot of toxic stuff.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to think like because Anna and the real Mark die together, essentially. He doesn't fully die, but he ends up throwing himself off the railing.
So weird.
But the doppelganger goes and gives the gun to like this girl and tells them to shoot the cops. And then she like hoists him up over the fucking thing and he like gets out. Then he goes to the teacher's house. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And well, one thing, like if the teacher doesn't, if her looking like Anna is just a thing in Mark's head, then she probably does really look like Bob. So that's one thing. Bob.
The idea of his influence on women.
Well, he's not like, he's evil.
Mm-hmm.
He's not like this thing that she created that's like all the good part. Like he's a fucking monster. Like,
well, I think that those parts of them are separated. But yeah, what is that? That's where the movie is losing me a little bit, because the squid demon is supposed to be.
Oh, that's
like
what
she accepts as like.
But like, that's what you were saying, that like all the goodness goes into the real Mark and then all his evilness goes into the doppelganger.
Not even goodness. It's like, I think it's more complicated than that. It's like, it's just different parts of them, different flavors.
Mm, like Neapolitan ice cream.
And yeah, exactly.
Like
it's the is. And I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm not going to pretend to like come out of this being like, oh, I get it. I get that this is what the movie is, because the whole thing, what you were saying with, and I guess we're talking about the sixth reveal now, officially.
Oh, yeah.
I think
surprise. Sixth reveal. Doppelganger.
I did. I'm sorry. I kind of like launched us into that without setup. Because the thing is like, it's like he's very parasitic, too. There's something contagious about his quote unquote charm where he meets the girl, but then he like destroys her life. Like she's clearly either going to get shot or arrested. And now she's pulled into their drama and their shootout. It's upsetting. You see the influence that type of guy can have on someone.
Yeah.
And obviously that's done in like a really extreme way. Like within seconds, she's willing to give up everything and save him. at her expense.
Yeah. What about when Marge's body falls out of the trunk in that plastic bag? Just like, pump. Like, it was like a very like house that Jack built moment where he like dragging the body.
Yes.
That's funny. Yeah, I don't like this movie is so like, I think I've been thinking about this lately. It's like a lot of the best like art is contradictory. Mm-hmm. And that's just like because that's human nature. Like,
yeah,
everything's like a constant push and pull, like a struggle. You know, you listen to lyrics on these, like some of the best songs of all time, and it's just people saying contradictory things. Mm-hmm. And it's like this movie is everything is just like, I want you, I hate you, I need you, yeah. I don't want you, I need you. And it's just like, that's just life, that, you know?
It's a great way of putting you in the shoes of someone who is dealing with that contradictory, like, that contradiction, like, with themselves, with, like, whatever situation, in this case, a relationship. It's like, oh, I know I should leave. I know this is not good for me. Mm-hmm. But here's why I should stay. You know, it's like, you know what it is? It all comes down to the poem that Julia Stiles' character reads in 10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh, yeah.
She does 10 things. These are all the things I hate. But ultimately, it reveals why she loves him. So,
ew, no, that's not.
I know. What a 90s way to look at love. Yeah. It's like, you're so bad for me.
We've learned God, so much.
It gets
much.
Me so hot.
We've learned so much.
I know.
All right. Well, you guys, that is Possession.
Oh, wait, really quick before we jump ship, Bob sees the doppelganger mark coming home and kills himself, drowns himself in the tub. Wait, and then
does he? We don't see because we've established earlier that like Bob likes to go into the water and like hold his breath.
Shut up.
No, I'm serious.
Did we really?
No, I think he's killing himself. I think he killed himself.
Because like there's like multiple scenes with Bob in the tub and he was like. He like comes up from the water. And I think earlier he had like a snorkel on.
Yeah, he's not using a snorkel now.
You guys think I'm fucking with you?
No, I'm just trying to think now. I'm trying to think of like what it's supposed to symbolize. Because
yeah, I don't know.
Clearly he tells her, he's like, do not open the door. Don't let him in.
See, I thought
Bob
he was just like.
Races through the flat into the bathroom where he submerges into the bathtub face down, drowning himself.
Okay.
Do you think there's some. Okay, this is a read.
I thought he was just like hiding because we've seen like the bathtub is kind of like. A place that he likes, like it was like his safe space.
Right.
So I agree.
And so I thought he was like holding his breath and just.
I think that's 100%. I think it is a safety thing. But it's again, like you talk about contradiction. The contradiction is that he's finding a safe haven in a form of suicide in a way. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's like, but then, okay, this is a read. I don't even know where I'm going with this. But because there have been a lot of, we've seen like births and all that, like the idea of like creation. And he is like the son, the child character that's supposed to be nurtured. And he returns to like this, like when we're born in
like fluid,
you know, and he goes into the safe space where we see that's the place where his parents take care of him. Like even earlier, he says something. Yeah, I can't remember if it's Mark says it to Anna or vice versa, but they're like, go basically be nurturing. And it's always in the bathroom. It's like, mm-hmm. go be nurturing. It's in this space where he's cleaned. He's taken care of. You know, he's vulnerable. He's literally, you know, like he's completely vulnerable.
Yeah. When Heinrich comes to the house and the teacher's over and he's like, hey, like Mark, like hands the teacher a bar of soap and a towel. And he's like, mm-hmm. help me out.
It's like the ultimate form of like just taking care of someone.
Yeah.
And the fact that he returns to that space.
Yeah.
Like drowning himself isn't about like, I want to hurt myself. It's like in a weird way, like compared to what is out there in the world, this is actually the safest space for me.
Jesus.
And then I mean, it makes sense because at the end we hear like the world is ending.
Yeah.
What was your guys's read on that?
Yeah, like, there was like
it's like things exploding and
bombs and airplanes.
I don't know, the Cold War.
Oh, maybe.
But like I think that's why it was called the Cold War because there was no fighting.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know too much about that, but
because then the teacher also is kind of like possessed by the end. You know what I wish this movie did? I wish it did that thing where it's like, you know, like some movies will end with like a punk rock song and it kind of feels like contradictory. This is where they could have done
they didn't do that till the 90s.
Love will tear us apart.
Like like just like and then it like cuts to like credits.
This movie definitely wasn't that kind of movie. Oh. This is not the faculty. Those,
okay. All right. That's possession. Let's go into our.
Hey, can we talk about the guy with the prolapsed asshole?
Ew, what?
Is that what they call it?
Ew. Okay. Okay, yeah, we were going to talk about pink socks, and then we got, prolapsed asshole. Ew, that's so fucking gross.
Makes me like, we're not here to kink shame, but I don't like it.
Okay. Make it hurt, right?
We were going to talk about pink socks, and then we got sidetracked with James Bond. But, so at the beginning, there's the, where Mark's in the meeting with his employers, and yeah, they like say, like, yeah, and they say, like, our guy is the guy with the pink socks that you're like, does he still wear pink socks? So like the guy they're after, right?
Mm-hmm.
Later, there's this whole thing about like dead dogs and the people are trying to get Mark back to his job. And then you see the guy with the pink socks.
Yeah.
That guy who's wearing the pink socks, if you go back and watch it, he's sitting at the table with
the
people who are debriefing him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like there's this whole other like, espionage thing. It is such a fucking what James Bond movie.
Interesting.
Yeah, because I went back and I turned it on with the commentary to hear some information and I saw him at the desk. I was like, oh, there's a whole other thing going on here. That
I guess the double agent thing makes sense with like doppelgangers. It's like mm-hmm. we are different versions. Oh, we don't know the truth of everyone, even if they're, you know, because work is also an intimate setting to an extent.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, people, especially like on that level, like with what his work is.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Okay, well, that is Possession. Now let's go over our favorite reveals in Possession. Okay, so for Possession, we have 6 official reveals, and we do have some alternate titles for these reveals, so choose them accordingly. Speed round recap. Number 1, the PI goes to check the windows and he sees the creature. This is also known as, I've come to wash the windows. You guys know what I'm talking about? That old, the like, scary viper story. The window viper. Number 2 is the PI boss goes to find out where Emmanuel is, and he sees the creature too, and there's a whole thing. Also known as, my milkshake brings Detective Desky to the yard.
That's really good.
Number 3, Heinrich sees the creature, also known as Heinrich needs the Heimlich.
So for some reason, because he's gasping.
Yeah.
Number 4, Mark sees the body parts in the refrigerator, also known as, honey, the leftovers turned into a human head again.
And you're fine.
I love how you lean that's really funny. Back to yell it.
This is theater, you guys.
This is theater. Yep, just like you, just like the way this movie was shot. Number 5, Mark sees Anna and the creature having sex, also known as Mark's a cuck. Mm-hmm. And number 6, our final reveal. This is the doppelganger, also known as 007 is a human dildo.
A human dildo is a dick, but
you need so much context for these.
Well, they've listened to the whole episode.
Yeah.
Hopefully you didn't jump forward to this section. You missed a lot.
Casey, let's start with you. What is your favorite reveal in Possession?
My favorite reveal is, I've come to wash the windows. Is that what it was? But just because, because it was the unexpected turn. I turned this movie off to go to sleep right before this part. And then I turned it back on the next night to finish it.
Yeah.
And then this happened and it just was not, you know, it was just a turn that I wasn't expecting it to take.
Right.
But I was very happy about it.
Okay. Yeah. It definitely is a, like, you know, like you said, just like a holy shit shifting point in the movie.
It is holy shit shifting. Yeah.
Danny, what do you got?
Mine's the same one. I want to wash your windows.
Mm-hmm.
Or I came to wash your windows.
I came to wash the windows.
I came and then washed your windows.
Washed the windows because there was cum all over them. So it said,
I came. Oops, I'll wash your windows.
How much money the average jizz mopper makes per hour? What's a jizz mopper?
He's the guy that cleans out the nudie booths after each guy jerks off.
Nudie booth?
Yeah, nudie booth. Ever been in a nudie booth?
Guess not.
Oh man, it's great. You go into this booth and there's this glass between you and these chicks, and they put on a show for you for like $10.
What kind of a show?
Think of the weirdest, craziest shit you'd like to see chicks do. I mean, these chicks do it all. They insert things into any opening on their body. Any opening.
Can we not talk about this now?
The jizz mopper's job is to clean it up after each guy shoots a load. It's practically everybody does it right on the window. I don't know if you know this or not, but cum leaves streaks if you don't clean it right away.
So gross. Okay.
He's a shooter. yeah, everything Casey said, I loved it. Is okay. Shocking the using a wine bottle to stab someone in the throat.
Yeah.
I think she does it twice, right?
Yeah. She stabs him and then like, she's like, oh shit. And then she stabs him again. I think it was kind of like, oh, what did I just do? Now I got to go through with
it. I better finish
it. Kind of thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a good thing it was a red wine and not a white, because at least you could say, like, you could, if there were stains and then you have a broken wine bottle, put two and two together.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
I think mine is the second reveal. My milkshake brings Detective Desky to the yard. just because, like, in that scene, like, I agree with you that the first one is just like, holy shit, what is going on? But this one is like, you see the creature more and like there's the tentacles and they're like slithering around. And I guess there was like people under that bed, like moving that thing. And the thing was made out of like film stock and glue. Like they just like put it together. But I love seeing the
of course.
I was going to say testicles. I love seeing the tentacles like moving around.
Hey, to me, probably it's testicles.
That's true.
I didn't see a sack.
Mm.
You know what they say? If you don't see a sack, the tentacles are the testicles.
That's what they always say.
That was the original. They were going to have that quote in the US version. And then they went with the other one.
That's the tagline of the movie. That's like the log line on the, or the tagline on the, on the box. The
tentacles are the testicles.
All right. Well, now it's time for a segment that we like to call The Real Monster. I'll start us off. I just have two. I've got the Emmanuel's tailing skills, which we've talked about. Like, it was so wild. And they just kept getting worse, like, as it went on. And just insane. And then I have Heinrich for being rapey, because he was, like, in that scene where he sees the monster, like, before he's, like, making out with Anna. And they're, like, caressing each other. And he says, don't resist me. You know I'm stronger than you.
Ugh.
Yeah. And I was like,
right after that is when he says, I'm the only one who has any right because I don't claim it.
Right, right. Yeah. But I was like, oh, shit. Okay. That's just like, I mean, that's just a scary situation in general. But like to have someone say that, it's like,
Yeah.
It's just like, to hear the words.
And he knows it. Yeah.
Terrifying. Yeah. Okay. What do you guys got?
Well, I have five.
Damn.
Yeah. So I'll just start off and say I also have Emmanuel's skills because it's horrible. I also have the bathwater in the beginning because it was an alarmingly not clear.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was very yellow brown.
Brown.
Oh, yeah. It was gross. I have the electric knife that they were using to cut themselves because it was not working very well. At all. She was like sitting there cutting up meat and it was not.
I forgot about that scene. Talking about like Chekhov's gun. I'm like, what is gonna happen with those?
Oh, right away. Yeah, so it wasn't really doing a great job. I also have her doing what I'm calling milk angels in the subway. after the milk gets dumped everywhere and she starts rolling around in it, making milk angels.
Milk angels.
Yeah, you know, like snow angels.
That happens at the end of every orgy, by the way. A lot of people don't know that.
I didn't ask. We don't, you know. We're not, Zach and I are part of that lifestyle, so you keep that to yourself. Another thing
angels.
You might know a lot about, also, my fifth one is pink socks, so.
So.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Pink socks and milk angels.
Okay, Danny, my stomach can't take anymore, so please take over and tell us your
real I'm sure his are so much better.
I don't even care that I forgot her name. Margie?
Yeah.
Yeah, Margie.
Anna's friend Margie is a real monster for selling her friend out.
Yeah.
Like, if you have a friend, okay, I am not condoning cheating. I'm not condoning any of that stuff. But I also understand that everyone has their own reasons for doing what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And if you have a friend who confides in you, unless they have done something truly reprehensible and or illegal.
Yeah.
And the partner calls asking, you just say, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You talk to your friend. You say, hey, your partner called. They ask a question, blah, blah, blah. You deal with it. It is not my, I'm not there to do that.
Yeah.
The fact that she not only does it once, there's another scene and she does it again. So,
well, I think she kind of is into Mark.
Oh.
Because she was like undressing him in the courtyard, which was very strange.
That's the whole, that's also another like.
Okay. So even worse. Thing. So yeah. So she gets another place.
Yeah.
She's possessed by Mark.
And then I just have one more, and I feel like it is the strongest one that I have, is just the patriarchy in general. You know, there is, that's not to say all men are bad. Everyone's all like, men don't have a fair shot these days. Oh, fuck off. That's not that what funny? Anyone's saying. There is a patriarchal system, like many systems. It just so happens that we're talking about the patriarchy here because that's what the theme of the movie is. A lot of systems, if not all systems, are typically corrupt. They're broken from the inside out. They have rotted. And that's usually because they were formed many years ago when people were fucking stupider than they are these days. And we have now just, we're still living by standards that were set up by people who were fucking, you know, pooping in rivers. You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
They were pooping in rivers.
They're pooping in the river and they're making the rules. It's a patriarchy. So just like, if there's one thing to take away,
the patriarchy.
Pooping in the river, now they're making the rules.
It's just, there's, don't be a schmuck, you know?
We say peg the patriarchy. That's what I say.
Peg the patriarchy. 100%. You know, a little empathy, a little sympathy, a little love and tenderness in your heart goes a long way, and not thinking that your shit don't stink. And that's all we ask for of people in this world. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Down with the patriarchy.
All right. Well, now it's time for our last segment. Would you survive the demon semen octopussy in possession?
Okay. So this may go against everything we just said about like self, you know, calling yourself a golden retriever.
Danny's like, I'm a golden retriever. I would survive.
No, but I
would never make Anna mad.
Well, my thing was, is like, I was like, I like to think I'm not the kind of person who is that like Mark. So I wouldn't be in that situation. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're all safe for that reason.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, exactly. I think if I were like Mark and I did that, then I feel like there's just no escape. So it all just comes down to like who you are as a person. Like if you're a bad person, you are in this, you're doomed one way or another. It's going to come. It came for Bob. It seems to have come for the whole world at the end of the movie off screen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's where I stand.
Well, yeah, it's kind of wild because like Sam Neill at the end, he comes to the door. He's like fully formed and like the world is ending seemingly outside. And then even like you mentioned at the beginning of this episode, how he's in The Omen 3. Where he plays like this world leader like wants to, you know, end the fucking world. Final conflict. Yeah. Mm. Kind of crazy. Does Sam Neill want to end the world?
He's like, I only do movies. He was offered 007, by the way. And he was like, does he want to end the world? No, he's trying to stop the end of the world. And then he got a script for Possession. He was like, sign me up.
Sign me up. Yeah. that's a great answer. I think that kind of sums things up where it's like, if you're a good person, you'll probably be okay. Okay, you guys, that was Possession. That was our first movie in our International Eeks triple feature. Casey, what are we doing next?
I saw the devil.
Oh, I'm excited. I haven't seen this.
It's so good. I am very excited. On our last episode, I said that this had been on my watch list for a long time. And while I have seen this image of this, the poster image for this. And I was like, okay, I do know what you're talking about. The one that's been on my watch list for a long time is I Trapped the Devil.
Mm. Oh.
Which, again, I've never seen, but I got him confused.
I almost nominated that for our Christmas watch last year. I think it's a Christmas movie.
Okay.
For thinking of the same movie.
Well, yeah, either one I haven't seen. So.
Zach.
It's okay.
Maybe it's a trilogy. I Saw the Devil. I Trapped the Devil. I freed the devil.
I freed, not killed.
I partied freed. With the devil.
I partied 50 with the
Shades
devil.
Freed.
Well, that's cool. I'm excited for I Saw the Devil. I have no idea what it's about.
I don't want you to.
Okay. I'll go in blind. I'll just watch it.
Just because it's more fun that way.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. Same. I'll do the same.
Well, that's everything good. Is. About it. That's good to know. Okay. Well, that's it. Where can our listeners find you guys on social media if they want to follow along with your crazy social media stuff?
I am on Instagram at WolfMotherCasey.
Awesome. Danny?
I'm on Instagram, Blue Sky, and Letterboxd at my name, Danny Salem. That's DannySalemme. Two M's, like the candy, melt in your butt, not in your hands.
Nice. Do you think the octopussy put M&Ms in Anna's butt?
Mm-hmm.
So I just assumed that's what it was doing.
Oh, okay.
I was actually confused when...
Because you're like, that's my thing.
Yeah, like, were you guys not like kind of eagle-eyed, like looking like for rappers, like M&M rappers? Because I didn't see any. So then I was like, oh, I think I misunderstood the movie.
Yeah. So then you put them in your butt.
Yeah. Well, they were already in there.
Oh, okay.
Oh, they're always.
They're always just kind of stored there.
And you can find me on social media at Zach Winsick. Make sure to follow our show, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, all over the place, and Patreon. You can join our Patreon for free at How I Met Your Monster. And just check it out and be a part of the community. So make sure to join us for I Saw the Devil. And until then, thank you all for listening. Now go meet some monsters.